Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome into Duval Daily, presented by GenJack.com. I'm Jordan DeLugo. Thanks so much for tuning in here today. Right now, we have got my final What I Would Do mock draft for the 2024 NFL Draft for the Jaguars here. 7 rounds. The draft is tomorrow. It is finally upon us, Duval. Hopefully, you guys are fired up. There are so many options here for the Jaguars. We're going to try to talk about a lot of these different things over the next couple days, you know, before the draft kicks off on Thursday night. The Jaguars currently hold the 17th overall pick. We're going to dive into all of it here. If you enjoy the content here, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. You can also check out genjag.com/shop, pick up some new Duval gear like the hat I am wearing right now. Again, really appreciate y'all tuning in. So, like I said, tons of options for the Jaguars. Tons of good options, in my opinion. I think you could trade down from 17. That is good process. More bites at the apple, analytically sound. I think that there's enough quality prospects at positions of need for the Jaguars that makes sense. I like trading up too, though, even though, you know, analytics will tell you not to trade up. You want more bites at the apple. I think that I get that, right? But I do like the idea of trading up for a Malik Nabers or Romo Odunze if that scenario presents itself, right? I cannot deny that despite what anyone will tell you, I think trading up for a receiver for a Trevor Lawrence makes sense. Like, I know the analytics say not to do it unless you're trading up for a quarterback. But for me, Romo Odunze or Malik Nabers, they're worthy of being a top receiver in a given class. Like in many draft classes, Romo Odunze or Malik Nabers would be the top receiver off the board. Nabers can change the game in a flash, right? Like he is electric. His start and stop ability, his throttle, his acceleration, unbelievable. And then Romo Odunze, he just has it all. Size, athleticism, ball skills, route running savvy, physicality. Length, it's all there for Romo Odunze. I like sticking and picking Johnny Newton or Byron Murphy as well. You know, Newton or Murphy, in my opinion, makes you one of the scariest defensive fronts in the NFL, bar none, right away. Also, like I said, I like trading down, picking Newton or Murphy, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cooper DeGene even, Brian Thomas Jr., Adonai Mitchell, lots of options there. You know, Kool-Aid McKinstry, I think he massively upgrades your cornerback room. Is a guy that has a ton of press man experience and is really good in that role. I think Terrion Arnold would upgrade your cornerback room as well. A couple other cornerbacks would. You know, Brian Thomas Jr., Adonai Mitchell, even though they're not on the level of the guys we talked about prior at wide receiver, they're immediately your biggest, most athletic guys on the outside at wide receiver. And I do think they both have the potential, you know, with their size, their athletic ability, to be number one receivers and to be the type of guy Trevor Lawrence thrived with in college at Clemson. You know, if Quinyon Mitchell was somehow there at 17, I'd be happy with him as well. So there's a lot here. lot on the table. And that's not even including one of the top tackles, which, again, I would be fine with. Joe Alt will be gone. But, you know, for me, Amarius Mims, Olu Fashanu, Troy Fontenot, I'm in on those guys. Like, wouldn't be my pick necessarily, probably, because I do think you have OT locked down right now for the 2024 season. I think you also have options like of retaining Cam Robinson or Walker Little long-term. But yeah, if you want to move towards getting younger at offensive tackle, get super cheap, have Anton Harrison and another rookie as your starters moving forward on cheap deals, like, I get that as well. But I also like a lot of guys deeper in the class at offensive line, deep tackle class and O-line class in general. Jackson Powers-Johnson, Graham Barton, would I be good with those guys? Again, yes. I don't think they fit a need, an immediate need, as much as some of the other prospects we talked about. But you talk about getting a blue chip type of interior offensive lineman, I'm always going to be okay with that, right? I'd also be good with trading draft capital for Brandon Ayuk. So again, there is no shortage of options for the Jacksonville Jaguars. For me, Johnny Newton, Byron Murphy are likely to be the highest graded guys on my board. I like Johnny Newton more than Byron Murphy. I love upgrading that defensive front. Love it. I'm willing to trade down a little bit because, again, I think there's going to be so much value in doing so. I love getting one of those guys if it's at 17 or even trading down, whichever way. To me, I like those options better than trading up for Odunze or Neighbors, even though that's my second favorite scenario. But the opportunity cost for trading up for Neighbors or Odunze, it's just too much for me. Like, you're talking about losing probably, if you want to guarantee yourself a chance to get one of those guys, 17, 48, and maybe even a future first or second round pick. That's just too much for me personally. Now, should Trent Baalke do that? Maybe, because he doesn't hit on much after round one throughout his career. Not very consistent after round one throughout his career when it comes to the draft. So maybe he should do that. But this is my draft. This is not a Trent Baalke draft. This is what I would do. So in this one, we're going to trade down with Dallas. Land Johnny Newton at 24 overall. You get a third at 87 and a 2025 fourth. So you're getting more draft capital this year and you're getting more draft capital next year. Kind of building up that ammo for the 2025 draft as well. Johnny Newton. Not a Trent Baalke type of player from his past, like from his past drafts, right? You haven't seen Trent Baalke go with guys that don't have 33-plus inch arms on the defensive front. But I would, because Johnny Newton, he is incredibly technically sound. His hands are fantastic. He plays with excellent leverage. He is flexible. I think that he is alignment versatile. I think he can line up for you at 3-tech, at 5-tech. I think he can move around the defensive front, rush from a lot of different spots. He's stout against the run, but he is going to be an incredible pass rusher with his explosiveness, his flexibility, his ability to bend around the corner and get to the quarterback, flatten and get to the quarterback and pursue. It's awesome. And again, defeats blocks at the line of scrimmage so quickly and so well with those violent hands. So I'm big time in on Johnny Newton. Think he can move around that defensive front and the strength that gives you up front. You might have one of the most dominant defensive lines in the NFL with Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker on the edge. You have Johnny Newton, you have Eric Armstead, you have Devon Hamilton. And look, Devon Hamilton, I'm a huge fan of him. I don't know that he's going to be back to 100% this year. I think that that's a massive gamble. If you're just going to say, we don't need interior defensive line because we feel confident that Devon Hamilton's going to be back to 100%, I think that's a risk. So again, this kind of mitigates that risk and it massively upgrades your front. I love it. I think that having waves and waves of good pass rushers, good defensive linemen, is a quick way to be one of the most dangerous defenses and one of the most dangerous teams in the NFL. I think doing that for the Jaguars at 24 overall after a trade down just makes too much sense for me. At 48 overall, Trevor Lawrence does need more weapons. We're going to get him one right here. Wide receiver Jalen Polk. If you've been paying attention, I've been talking about Polk for a very long time because I have an early second round grade on him. I think he's going to go at some point in the second round. At 48 overall, to me, that presents a ton of value. Polk, 4.52, 40-yard dash, not incredible. But he is a height, weight, length, explosiveness combo that the Jaguars currently don't have. And even though, you know, you could look at Zay Jones testing and say, oh, Zay Jones is more athletic than Jalen Polk. I think if you watch these two guys play, Jalen Polk is a much more complete receiver and was a much more complete receiver than Zay Jones was coming out. Jalen Polk has brilliant hands. He can adjust to the football, whether it's deep down the field, intermediate, short, better than just about anyone in this class. And he comes down with contested catches. He does not drop anything. He's got very, very, very consistent hands. I think he is a good route runner. I think he's a very good athlete. He's explosive from 0 to 10 yards, and he has enough size to compete down the field. He's going to be bigger and stronger and have a better ability to go up and get the football than most cornerbacks are that are trying to cover him. Is he a true wide receiver one in the NFL? No, but I think that the Jaguars fan base has a little bit overvalued the idea of a wide receiver one, not because they're not valuable. They are. But when you have a receiving core like the Jaguars currently have.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You know, Christian Kirk in the slot. Gabe Davis as a vertical stretch type receiver. Also, Evan Engram as a target hog over the middle of the field and you know, in the intermediate to short areas. Getting someone who can play the Z receiver opposite Gabe Davis, who's going to be playing X, who can also be a high-volume target, who catches everything thrown his way, who is a good route runner, who can be a three-level threat, I think makes a ton of sense. And I think Jalen Polk fits that to a T. Now, I think the Jaguars would probably prefer to land someone who runs faster, you know, on the 40-yard dash. That's kind of where I think they're trying to trend towards. But for me, Jalen Polk would be a great compliment to the current group of receivers and certainly someone Trevor Lawrence could rely on consistently. Now, at this point, I do think it's fair to compare stacks of players, right? Like, if you got Johnny Newton and Jalen Polk, do you prefer that to, like, a Brian Thomas Jr., Adonai Mitchell, one of those two guys, plus, like, Michael Hall, Chris Jenkins, or one of the round two corners? For me, I think there's just more rock solid value in Johnny Newton and Jalen Polk than any of those guys we just talked about. They're going to be really, really good players at premium positions, in my opinion. Like, pass rushing interior defensive line, that is a premium position. Wide receiver is a premium position. It just is. So I really like the idea of getting both of those guys. And then at 87, that pick from the Cowboys, cornerback Renardo Green, another one. If you've paid attention to my coverage of the draft, you've heard the name Renardo Green out of Florida State a lot. He ran more press coverage than I think anyone in college football last year, did it at an extremely high level. He is fluid. He is athletic. He's not the biggest or strongest, but you know, his testing compares favorably to Terrion Arnold. I don't think that he's as springy as Terrion Arnold, you know, in and out of breaks or exploding towards the football, but I think he's stickier. I think he's just able to play with the perfect combination of physicality, using his length well, and you know, having those quick feet, fluid hips, and just having good route anticipation, knowing how to play press man coverage. The Jaguars want to play press man. Renardo Green's the perfect guy to do it. I have a early day two grade on him. Getting him in the third round would be an absolute steal for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But you don't see a lot of buzz on him much higher than this. So I think there's a good chance they could land him at 87 overall. I would be all over that type of pick. I think it would be awesome for him to come in here and compete at corner. At 96 overall, edge Muhammad Kamara, another one you've heard me talk about a lot. This is a guy that is a ready-made designated pass rusher to come in and contribute behind Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen. You have your two starters locked in at edge, right? You signed Josh Allen to the massive deal. You have Trayvon Walker on his rookie contract, but you still need edge depth. As much as I love adding Johnny Newton, and yes, he can play on the edge at times, so can Eric Armstead. Adding someone who can come in and continue to fortify that pass rush, I think, is just too enticing for me here. I think Muhammad Kamara compares favorably to like Shaquille Barrett, Melvin Ingram type players. I think he's going to be that type of guy. He's got the natural leverage. He's got enough length. Got all the pass rush moves in the world. He studies his opponents. He's a guy that lives in the film room. I think that he's going to be a steal in this draft, and I would love for the Jaguars to be able to land him in the third round. At 114 overall, cornerback, another one, Chris Abrams-Drain. I have a day two grade on this guy. He's not the biggest, not the strongest, but 31-inch arms, enough length, that 5'11 and a half, you know, almost 6 feet tall, and then 4.44 40-yard dash. He's got the speed to keep up. And the thing I love about Chris Abrams-Drain and Renardo Green, they are physical. They're physical against the run. They're physical in coverage. They're athletic. I think that whether Chris Abrams-Drain is competing long-term to be a starter on the outside or your nickel, that is really good value here for Chris Abrams-Drain out of Missouri. Love him. At 116 overall, we're going to start to fortify the offensive line. I think Tanner Bordellini should be a day two pick as well out of Wisconsin. Supreme athlete. I think he could play guard or center for the Jaguars in this scheme. He is a great mover, very good pass protector, grew a lot during his first year starting there at Wisconsin, and I think that he has a massive ceiling. So really excited about landing him there as a depth player on the interior. And then at 153 overall, offensive tackle Garrett Greenfield out of South Dakota State, a guy with enough length, athleticism to be at very worst, in my opinion, a swing tackle in the NFL, and at best, you know, potential starting left tackle who is really good in pass protection, but not great as a run blocker. Then at 212 overall, we have got to add some talent to that kicking room. Riley Patterson, love him, you know, playoff hero, does not have a big leg. Joey Sly, very inconsistent. Bring in Will Reichard, who can combine those two talents of both of those guys, who does have a big leg, can get it done on the kickoffs, can get it done from 50-plus, but very consistent throughout his career at Alabama. At 236 overall, just one of my guys in this class, running back Kamani Vidal, a guy that out of Troy doesn't have the most buzz on him, but you could say he kind of reminds you of Mojo. He is a short king, has a ton of contact balance, ton of power throughout his frame, but a very good athlete as well. Ran in the 4.4s. I think that you bring him in here to compete, and he's probably going to end up making the roster, contributing on special teams. He's already good in pass protection. He's a good receiver out of the backfield, a very talented runner. So I love that. So in this mock draft, my what I would do mock draft, you land a blue chip player in Johnny Newton after trading down to 24. You go get a height, weight, explosiveness receiver with Velcro hands who has utility. I didn't even mention yet the fact that Jalen Polk is maybe the best blocking receiver in this class. The Jaguars, with the way they run their offense, they want receivers that can block on the outside. Jalen Polk can do that, and he can also be a reliable pass catcher for Trevor Lawrence. You add instant juice, designated pass rusher on the edge, and Mo Kamara. Renardo Green to compete outside with Ronald Darby in year one. Chris Abrams-Drain is at worst a future starter at nickel. I think that he could compete to get reps early on in his career as well, you know, as early as 2024 with the Jaguars. The offensive line depth, both of those guys are good athletes, good pass protectors with run game upside. When you talk about Bordellini and Garrett Greenfield, they're role players now, they're future starters, or, you know, in Garrett Greenfield's case, maybe a future swing tackle at worst. My favorite kicker in the draft and Will Reichard out of Alabama. And then again, one of my favorite running backs, a guy who I think that makes sense for the Jaguars running back room, could come in and eventually have a nice role for the Jaguars on the offense and special teams. So that'll do it for my final what I would do mock draft. Either later today or early tomorrow morning, we will have our final predictive mock draft, what I think that the Jaguars will try to do, what I think Trent Baalke is scheming up in the lab over at Everbank. So that will be, again, out later today or early tomorrow. Really appreciate you guys tuning in. Would love to know what you think. Drop a comment in the comment section below about this final What I Would Do mock draft. If you enjoy the content, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. And again, you can check out jinjag.com/shop to pick up some new Duval gear like the hat I'm wearing right now. Y'all have a good one.